Dad was talking to me about the things that was going on this week, telling me about the pressures of going on in society and the world, and of course I've been there myself. It just sure is nice to come into the presence of the Lord, just to know He's here, just to know that this isn't all there is, this whole world. We got a greater hope. I was standing in the foyer and talking to Brother Ferguson, and something come to me. Something hit my soul. And I was thinking of that old song, and it goes, "And oh, I want to see Him, to look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace, and on the streets of glory let us lift our voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see Him, to look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, and through Him I must win. And oh, I want to see Him, to look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever be tied. And oh, I want to see Him, Brother Raymond, to look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, He's leading in the fight. With a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, He's the real friend of me. Oh, I love Him so. And oh, I want to see upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, and oh, I love him so. And oh, I want to see him, to look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him, to look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Sing it, church. And oh, I want to see him, to look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, we've got something here, church. We've got something here. Hallelujah. We have the King of Kings here. It takes a lot to make it through this world. Hallelujah. But I'm going home. I'm going to the other side. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm not going to just store this treasure up here for this old moth and dust to corrupt and just eat away at. I'm going to put my hope in another world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing page 33. If you don't know it, you got a songbook, sing along. Let's have a good time. Let's have a good time. Thank you, Jesus. I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need, while I sit and learn at Jesus' feet. I am free, yes, free indeed. And it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Joy and peace within. Oh, what a wondrous blessing. I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. And it is joy. Yes. Full. Yes. Full. It's full of glory. It is joy unspeakable. Full of glory, it is joy unspeakable and full. full and full of glory, all the half has never yet been told. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, church, I'm glad I know a God that supplies every need. Hey, if I was looking to this world, church, I'd be in a mess right now. But He's supplying it all, hallelujah. And when I get down, hallelujah, all I got to do is go over there and go, Daddy, can you pick me up? And He says, here's a little bit more joy to carry you through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. We have needs. I like that. We have needs. I have needs. I have needs. And I know you have needs. Mine not my blah blah blah. Mine might not be that great. But I do have some pain in my mouth here. And I know you have something that you need the Lord to touch. You have a family member. There's someone that needs a touch. And I would ask that you just bring it to the Lord tonight. He knows what those needs are. He knows what the needs are. We need to believe that He's as close as the mention of His name. And when we ask Him, that He's going to do it. There's more than two of us or three of us agreeing. And maybe we just need to pray for each other's needs. Maybe that's what we need to do tonight. And really pray and believe God's fixing to do something right here in this service. Because I know we have needs. You may not have a need tonight, but someone in here has a need, and you know the God that can touch that need. I was just thinking the other night of all the times that someone has prayed for me. I was thinking the other night of Brother Fry. He's been praying for me. Brother Lozano has been praying for me. Brother Raymond praying for me. Well, let's pray for each other. I got to make sure I keep you guys in mind. So let's pray for each other's needs. Remember, Billy Covey and rehab is in rehab. I see. He has in the hospital. So we need to hold him up. Her, sorry. Brother Jonathan Hart and family. Miss Santa Gonzalez, special needs. There's many on the healing, several on the healing. If you need a touch from God tonight, you want to come before the church and get someone to lay hands on you, feel free to come forward. And don't be afraid to ask for what God's fixing to do here. I believe God's fixing to do a work. But we need to pray for each other's needs. Let's go to the Lord. Let's go to the throne of grace. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you, God. Hallelujah. Come on, church, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. God, I ask you to touch the needs, God, in this sanctuary, Lord. God, you're the one and true living God. Hallelujah, Lord. God, you're not deaf, oh God. You're not a God made by hands, Lord Jesus. You're the one and true God. Hallelujah. You know the needs, God. You supply every need. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. I ask you to touch each and every one of my brothers and sisters tonight. Touch each and every need, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask you to have your way in the service, God. Touch us tonight, God. Fill our hearts. Touch our minds, God. Give us peace, oh God, in our soul and our spirit, God. Lord, restore us, God. Hallelujah. Touch our bodies tonight, God. I ask you to touch this church, Lord. God, keep giving us some souls, giving us revival, God. Lord, we thank you, God. We're thankful for what you're doing in our church, God. Lord, we're thankful for those things, God. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you, God. You're worthy of the praise and the honor, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You see the needs, God. Thank you, Jesus. God, we're just thanking you for it, God. We're thanking you for filling these needs, God, for taking care of these people, God. Your children, Lord. Your Lord, they're not far from your thoughts, God. Hallelujah. I know, God, we're the apple of your eye, God. Lord, we're on your mind daily, God, all day, all night, God. All you think about is us and our needs, God. We're thankful to you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. A God that cares. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. So let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Let's sing it to Him, church.
We are standing,
let's worship Him,
on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. So let
hallelujah, hallelujah. He's all that matters, church. Not what's going on beside us. Not who's here tonight. Not what went on today. What went on yesterday. But Him. He's what matters. And tonight, all that matters is where we are as individuals in His eyes, what He sees in us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, I'm unworthy, but I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to be here tonight. He's a good God. He's seen me fall many times, but He just picked me right back up. He's a good God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I really hate to stick to schedules. But I'm going to do what I was asked to do. There has to be some kind of form to the service, right?
Absolutely. And I'm going to do my best to do a good job. Okay, I would like to make a couple of announcements very briefly. We have a men's prayer breakfast Saturday, October 10th at 8 a.m. If you're a man and you speak with a low voice like this, or well, maybe a tenor, if you don't mind, come on, eat with us. We'll have a good time. It's good every time I've been, and I enjoy it every time I come. Kind of hard to get up sometimes, especially if that's a day you actually ended up getting off, but it can be worth it. It can bless you. It can bless the men and bless your church. Saturday, October 17th,
yeah,
Preacher's Academy. Thank you, Brother Grissom, Brother Hard, Brother Raymond, Neil. These guys are teaching some phenomenal, phenomenal teaching. I'm just getting a lot out of it, and I'm really thankful to them for doing this. This is a lot of work. And then, if I believe from 1 to 4, if you would like to come, ladies, anybody, this, some of the most awesome teaching is between 1 and 4. And if you like real Holy Ghost-filled, anointed teaching, we're not getting wild and all that stuff. Just good teaching. I can't contain myself, Brother Grissom. I'll be sitting in there, Brother Hart's going, or Brother Grissom and Brother Raymond, one of them, and tears are just streaming down my face. This is so good. If you're missing this teaching, you're missing some deep word. Sunday school department, please. Sunday school staff meeting 8:50 a.m. When is that? The 27th, Sunday, 8:50 a.m. for Sunday school staff. And to please remember to bring bags of candy for Fall Fest. We already have some candy. Thank you very much for what you've done. And I know it's hard to remember. I haven't bought a bag of candy. Have a dear. We bought a few bags. Good. But I haven't. So maybe I need to remember. Thank you, Jesus. Can we take up an offering? I notice we got a couple of light bulbs need replaced. And I don't know, they're probably $3, $4, $5 a pack now. So let's support our own church. It's our church. Brother Ferguson, will you please pray over the offering?
Just like
Hallelujah. 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 Why don't we stand and lift our hands to the Lord right now? Lift up our voices and give Him thanks and praise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You're steadfast. Amen. You're faithful. You're secure. Hallelujah. Amen. We're founded upon the rock of ages. Amen. I thank you. You said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. Thank you tonight for a firm foundation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless you. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Good to see you. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. We're turning right now in the word of the Lord to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 2 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 3. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. Amen. He said, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. I'd like to talk tonight, or the next little bit, about living letters. Living letters. That's literally what we are. Living letters. Amen. It has been said, rightly said, you're the only Bible that some may ever read. Amen. I go back to the illustration I used Sunday about Christians. They were discussing methods of evangelism. One young lady from the jungles of Africa said, well, how we evangelize is when we find a tribe that doesn't have any Christians, we just send a Christian to live among them. I thought that was pretty good. That's the way it's supposed to be, folks. Your life is a letter. I said, your life is a letter. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. All of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, conclude with a commission to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The book of Acts opens with the same thing. He said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Our primary reason for still being here on the earth is to communicate the gospel. That's the only reason we're here, folks. If God just wanted to take us to heaven, we'd already be gone. Amen. And that would have been all right with us, huh? But He left us here with a purpose and with a commission, and that is to preach this gospel to every creature. So our job every day is to communicate the gospel. I said our job as Christians every day is to communicate the gospel. Is that right? Amen. We have talked about the man that said, somebody asked him what he did. He said, I'm an ordained plumber. Amen. He understood that though he was a plumber, his job is to communicate the gospel. Amen. And so, how do we communicate the gospel? I'm glad you asked. Amen. I just happened to be studying about that, Brother Hart. So we're in one mind, we're one accord here. How do you communicate the gospel? Well, everybody knows that you preach the gospel. Amen. Well, isn't that just for preachers? No. No. Thousand times no. Everybody preaches the gospel. Amen. Everybody's called to preach the gospel. He didn't say that to preachers. He said that just to his disciples. He said that to everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we preach the gospel. The word preach, that is translated preach in the New Testament, most of the time is the word caruso. The word caruso means to herald or to proclaim. And you remember in ancient times when they didn't have telephones and all of that, they would get somebody with a loud voice. You ever known anybody with a loud voice? Mine's not near as loud as it used to be. But one time I had a pretty loud voice. As a matter of fact, if the teacher left the room for a few minutes, and you know how it is, the teacher leaves, and you start talking. And every time she came back in the classroom, all the kids were talking, but she'd call my name. It just never seemed to fail. Why did she always pick on me? I guess because I have the loudest voice. Amen. But it's had its advantage through the years. Amen. I'm glad God gave me a good voice. Amen. I'm like the guy, he said, I have a great singing voice. He said, I just tear it up getting it out. Amen. But it started out really good. And so the word caruso means to herald, to proclaim. In Bible times, they had people and their name was herald. That wasn't their name, that was their job. And so heralds would go before the king, and they would say, make straight the way, the king is coming. Hear ye, the king is coming. Make way, the king is coming. That was their job, was to make way for the king, to get people's attention, because the king is coming. Isn't that our job today as Christians? And this gospel is to let the world know, hey, the king is coming. Hallelujah. It's not going to be very long. Amen. I'll tell you what, it's exciting to live in the times we live in. I tell you, it's frustrating sometimes. But you have to keep reminding yourself that it's all for a reason. And I'm just reading today about another czar that God appointed over schools, for goodness sakes. He's called the Czar of Safe Schools. He's an avowed homosexual. He pushes homosexuality in the schools. He is avowed against religion, especially Christianity, and he's written against it. He himself is a gay, pushes that agenda, and he's a great representative for schools, isn't he? Amen. And that's who got appointed over the schools of the United States of America. Amen. Now, tell you what, folks, but you know what the Bible said? When you see these things come to pass, lift up your eyes. For your redemption draweth nigh. I've made a statement. Others have made the statement that, you know, this is the worst it's ever been. Not true. You think it's bad, it's still not as bad as it was in the days of the apostles. I said it's still not as bad as it was in the days of the apostles, at least not in America yet. We don't have many churches that compete with that practice prostitution as part of their religion yet, that I'm aware of. That was a part of their worship. Outright sensuality. Everything that appealed to the flesh. Those things were common in the days of the apostles. Outright persecution of the church. Amen. We got a ways to go yet, folks. So don't get to feeling too sorry for yourself. Amen. It was worse in that time than it is in this time. But we're quickly getting there. We're on the wrong road, headed the wrong way. Amen. But you know what? No matter how dark it gets, no matter how difficult it becomes, our job is to communicate the gospel. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Amen. darkness of a million midnights cannot extinguish the light of one small candle. And so shine on, hallelujah. Our job is to proclaim the gospel. Our job is to announce the joyful good news. That's another word that we find in the New Testament translated preach 40 times. It's the word eun halicio, and it means to preach or to herald good news. Good news. Hey, I think the church still has good news. I think Acts 2:38 is still good news. I think the infilling of the Holy Ghost is still good news. I think baptism in Jesus' name, remitting our sins, is still good news. I think by His stripes we are healed is still good news. I think joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost is still good news. Hallelujah. That's our job, is to preach good news. Hallelujah. Amen. It's our job. The other word that's used in the New Testament 30 times is the word didache. Didache means teaching or instruction. Amen. So we preach the gospel with our words. Amen. We preach the gospel with our words. But that's not the only way we communicate the gospel. We also communicate the gospel by our actions. Isn't that right? And with our words and with our works, or with our actions. Jesus told it so very, very well when He told the story of the Good Samaritan. Amen. You remember the story? How that a priest went by, saw the wounded man, went past him. Then came a Levite, saw the wounded man, went on past him. Along came a Samaritan. He stopped, attended to him the best he could, set him on his own beast, took him down to an inn, told the innkeeper to take care of him, gave him what money he had, and he said, when I come back, if I owe any more, I'll pay what I owe. Amen. He said, now which one of these was a good neighbor? Which one of these was a good... Somebody talked about being a good neighbor. Amen. Great message, Brother Hart. Amen. And so he, that's good works. Just doing right. Just doing right. Just being right. You know, it's becoming more and more uncommon these days to be just a good person. Thank God there's still a lot of good people. Amen. But there's also some of the other stripe. Amen. And so our job as Christians communicating the gospel is just to do good works. Amen. Do good works. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16, He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just doing good works. Being nice to people. Being kind to people. Helping people. Amen. Being a good neighbor. That's just good works, folks. And the Bible said people see that and they glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. And so that we are called, the Bible said, to good works. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And that's one of the ways that we actually communicate the gospel is through our good works. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, He said, for we are His workmanship, get this, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. Did Jesus do good works when He came? Amen. They tried to forbid Him, didn't they? You remember He went to the temple one day and there was a guy sitting there with a withered hand. Amen. And He said, stretch out your hand. And they criticized Him for healing that man on the Sabbath day. But He didn't bother him, did He? They were always trying to trap Him and trick Him. But He just kept on doing good works. They tried to stone Him for doing good works, but He kept doing good works. Amen. People that He did good works for, sometimes it turned back on Him. Amen. But you know what? He just kept on doing good works. Amen. He didn't stop. He just did good works. Do something good for somebody. Amen. Do some good works. Make an impression. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what the Bible speaks of, heaping coals of fire on their head. That doesn't mean you reach in your fire and get some hot coals and put it in their hair. Amen. What that really means is do something good for somebody. What it was is if their fire went out, they'd come over and you'd give them coals, and they carried everything on their head. They still do in many places. And they'd haul those coals home and start their fire from your fire. Amen. So if somebody doesn't have a fire going on in their life, help them get one started with good works. You communicate the gospel with good works. Amen. Praise God. Is this still okay? Does this still work? Do you think the world still needs this? Hallelujah. Amen. And then I like what the scripture said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24. Paul said, the writer said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We should provoke one another to good works. Amen. Don't provoke one another to anger or to envy, but to good works. Amen. How do you do that? Well, generally just by doing good works. People say, oh, that's a good thing you're doing there. And they might just join you. And just love people. And people see that you love people. And after a while, they just might want to join you loving people too. So you just provoke people to good works. Provoke people to loving others. Amen. So we communicate the gospel by our actions, by our works, by our deeds. Amen. And so that's another way you preach the gospel. It works, friend. You know, sometimes people don't want to hear what you got to say. Amen. Until you do something good. And then they're willing to listen. Then they're willing to hear. Amen. There was a family. They were a foreign family, Oriental family. And they were very cloistered. They didn't allow their kids to go to Sunday school or go anywhere else. They were very, very cloistered. But the pastor been up north, and he would, where there was a lot of snow, and he would go out and he would do his driveway and his sidewalk, and then he'd go do their driveway and their sidewalk. Amen. And he just kept doing that. And you know what? Whenever they invited their children to go to Sunday school, the lady that had the children, she saw this man and she said, no, my children can't go. And then the grandma that was sitting in the background that had been watching him do the work said, oh, they can go with this man. They can go with this man. Amen. They were afraid to let their children go with anybody else, but they said, anybody that'll do what he's been doing must be all right. Hallelujah. Amen. So he won them through his good works. Amen. People have come into the church, perhaps some of you here today, because someone did some good works. Just did some good things. Just cared enough to do something. Amen. And so good works still is a great way to preach the gospel. Another way that we preach the gospel, and this may seem a little unusual tonight, but we preach the gospel by our appearance. How we dress, we preach the gospel. How we look, we preach the gospel. Your appearance preaches to people. It really does. Amen. If I say, that looks like a cowboy over there, well, how do I know he's a cowboy? How can I tell it's a cowboy or a cowgirl? By their appearance, right? That's how I know. I don't know the man, but I can tell he's a cowboy, or at least he's trying to represent one, by the way he looks, by his appearance, by his dress. If I see somebody, you know, that's, and I say, that's a punk rocker over there. Well, how do I know it's a punk rocker? Well, it's kind of obvious. He's doing his very best to communicate that. He dresses in such a way that he lets the world know I'm a punk rocker. Isn't that right? Amen. And so it is. You see, if I see somebody and I say, look, that's a Dallas Cowboys fan. How do I know he's a Dallas Cowboys fan? because he dresses in a certain way that communicates, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. And that's how we communicate with how we dress and how we appear. Our appearance has a lot to do with what we preach. Amen. Now, you can send a mixed message. And so we are preachers of the gospel, and so we want to preach even with our appearance. As a matter of fact, that's the first thing people notice about you. My wife and my daughter went to a mall several months ago in Lubbock, and this lady had a certain booth in there and sold hair products. And so they went and they bought some of the hair products, and the lady... That's something that must have made an impression. And they went back again several months later and went back to that same booth, and that lady was so glad to see them. She said, I'm so happy to see you all. She said, you made an impression on me when I was here before. And she said, I've been trying to look like you people. She said, I like the way you do your hair. I like the way you dress. I like that. I've been trying to dress like... And she didn't even know they were Pentecostals. She didn't know that. She just liked the way they looked. Amen. You can communicate by your dress. You do. You communicate a lot simply by the way you dress. Amen. And so that's important, isn't it? As a Christian, our dress should communicate these things. Some familiar verses that you may already know. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5, tells us, first of all, we communicate whether we're a man or a woman by our dress. It said, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So that just communicates something, doesn't it? It just does. In our society, we say men wear the pants in the family. And if you are looking for the restroom and you see a little figurine that's got britches on, what does that tell you? Even if you can't read the word, if it says caballeros, then you know what caballeros is, amen, in Spanish. But if you see that little figurine, you know, well, that must be it. When we went to France, you know, I didn't know French all that well, but if I saw a door that had one of those little guys with britches on, I said, that's mine right there. If I saw one had a little skirt on, I said, I'm not going in that one. And then I learned in some places it didn't make any difference. A little different over there. And so by the figurine, it communicates, doesn't it? So that's just something. So the Bible says the woman doesn't wear the man's, nor the man the woman's apparel. So it's just very plain that God wants distinction between the sexes. He doesn't want people to be confused. Amen. And so, of course, it's the same issue with the hair thing. Amen. It's obvious. God made that distinction. He wanted men to have short hair when women to have long hair. That's God's distinction. He said that He's the Creator. He made us. And so He has a right to expect and ask of us what He wishes to ask of us. And the purpose of that, God's not the author of confusion. He's a God of order. And so He made distinctions for people so that we can tell. And again, when we do this, we're just preaching the gospel. You look godly. You look holy. You're preaching the gospel. That's what you're doing. Amen. Praise God. And modesty preaches the gospel. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 said, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. What is modest apparel? Well, it just covers all the subject. It's modest. It's modest. It is not designed to attract undue attention to itself or to incite sexual lust. That's what it is. That's men or women. Amen. It doesn't matter who you are. We live in a world today when the men are as mixed up as women. So, you know, you just dress modestly. And you do that, you cover the body in a way that's pleasing to God. Now, how would you dress if you were going to go and you knew the Lord was going to be in a certain place and you were going to go see Him? How would you dress to go see Him? you dress modestly. You know, I thought this was interesting in Europe, something I noticed there. Most of the European women, I didn't go to the beaches, that's really bad, they say. I didn't go there. But just the general population, women almost always were wearing dresses and skirts. Modest. Almost any time you saw somebody in short shorts and a halter top, it was an American. That's sad, isn't it? I said, that's sad, isn't it? You know where that came from? Hollywood. And so the whole world thinks America is Hollywood. And so they expect our women to be loose and have little low morals and to modestly expose themselves. And most of them live up to that standard when they go to places. And so they look down on American women. They look at them as sex objects because that's the way they preach. That's the message they preach. That's what they're saying. That's what their appearance tells people. But most of the Europeans don't dress that way. At least not the ones where I was. And we were in France, Spain, and Italy. And women, for the most part, dressed modestly. And if you went into one of their churches there, they actually had robes. And if the women were modestly dressed, they'd put robes on them. They wouldn't even let them go in unless they were covered up. Thought that was pretty good. Amen. And so why? Because you see, your appearance preaches the gospel. Modesty. Everybody knows what modesty is. That's not a hard thing to define, is it? I think anybody's conscience will tell them what modesty is. Amen. Anybody that's spiritual and that wants to please God, their conscience will tell them what modesty is. I don't think it's really a big issue. You're just, you know, if you want to serve God and you're trying to serve Him with all of your heart, I mean, just modesty just is something that comes across that way. We know. Amen. The Bible talks about being in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold pearls. In other words, not trying to draw undue attention to the physical body. Christians in all ages have been people that did not wear a lot of jewelry to try to draw attention to their body. Broided hair, generally they would put gold or silver objects or jewels in their hair and they'd make it up and it was glittery and that was to draw attention again. Everything to draw attention to self. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea behind the makeup situation. It's to draw attention to the self. And then it's all there. Just in Scripture, we proclaim the gospel by just being modest. That's number one. And then we also proclaim the gospel by not being ostentatious in our dress. That is, we don't go overboard in spending. The Bible talks about not with costly array. Now, that said, let me say this. Cost determines several things. Quality is also involved there. You can may buy a garment that is cheaper, that is may not last as long as a garment that's made better. So that has to be considered. Amen. But if you shop at Walmart and carry it out in a Jones and Jones bag or a Saks Fifth Avenue bag, or you know, what are you trying to draw attention to where you shop and what you pay? Amen. That's just what I'm saying. The Bible talks about cost array. That is, people that draw attention to how much they pay for something to impress somebody. Amen. That's not really a godly example either, is it? Amen. God wants His people to be people that are know how to use money wisely. Is that okay? Is that all right? To use money wisely. Now, again, that's not easy to judge. If you make $1 million a year, you probably have a little more expendable income than somebody that makes $25,000 a year. Probably have a little more. So what's costly for that person would be different than what's costly for the person that makes $10,000 or $12,000 a year. So all of those things considered. But I'm talking about preaching the gospel here, folks. We communicate with our appearance. We communicate with our appearance. Amen. Now, And I think we should look our best. Now, obviously, if you're working and you're doing physical labor, look your best. But you know that you can't always work in a suit and tie. Amen. I'm a three-coat painter. When I paint, I'm a three-coat painter. I get one on the wall, one on the floor, and one on me, at least. So that's the way it works for me. I'm sloppy when it comes to painting. And so I do have clothes I wear when I paint because they're already painted. And so, obviously, it depends on what you're doing, but you present yourself in the very best light you can. Why? Because we represent the King. And I think when we come to church, we should do our best. Amen. Praise God. Just do our best because we represent the King. And so, all things taken into consideration. But we're preaching the gospel. We're preaching the gospel. Amen. By our appearance, we preach the gospel. With our attitudes, we preach the gospel. I said, with your attitude, you preach the gospel. Amen. I was in a restaurant some years ago, and I overheard this man, and boy, he was giving the waiter what for. He was telling her how horrible the service was and how upset he was about it. And then he said, I am the pastor of such and such church, and I bring my people in here. And if you can't do any better than this, we're just going to take our business somewhere else. And I'm sure she was glad to see him go. But why would you eat somebody out like that and tear them up and then say, I'm Pastor so-and-so? Or even a Christian for that matter. Amen. You don't treat people wrong and then proclaim how great a Christian you are. Your attitude preaches the gospel. Yes, it does. Our attitude is important. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus taught us the right kind of attitude. Look in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Paul said to the Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, I've always had a little difficulty understanding that. Maybe you just grasped that right away, but it's not as clear to me as I might want it to be. So, looking at some other materials, this made more sense to me. He said he did not demand or cling to his rights as God. Though he was God, he didn't make it a big deal that he was God while he was on the earth. He humbled himself. He did not go around demanding, I'm God, you can't treat me like this. Don't you know who I am? Amen. He didn't do that, did he? No. And that's a good example. Hallelujah. Don't you know who I am? Well, that ought to tell you right there that you got the wrong attitude. Amen. Now, he goes on to say that he made of himself no reputation. In other words, he was not so concerned about his reputation that that's all he thought of. Some people are just out to make a reputation. Some Christians are like that. They want to make a reputation. They want the people know who they are. Yes. Make a reputation. He didn't come here to make a reputation. Somebody said reputation is what people think of you. Character is what you really are. So if you take care of character, reputation takes care of itself. So he didn't come concentrating on creating some reputation for himself. It said, but he took on himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now I want to tell you, one of the hardest things in the world to be is a servant. Because a servant has no rights. Pretty tough. A servant has no recourse. If somebody treats a servant bad, he's a servant. It's tough for us, isn't it? Somebody treats us kind of bad, we want to retaliate. At least Johnny Grissom does. I don't know about you. Amen. But somebody treats me bad, I want to get even. Sorry, but it's the way I am. I struggle with that. Amen. It's hard to be a servant. It's hard to be a servant. Amen. I want to be like that preacher. Don't you know who I am? Amen. You can't treat me. I can treat you like that. But if you're a servant, you just take it. Jesus did. What did it say? He said, as a lamb before the shearer, and as a sheep before the slaughter, or maybe the opposite, he said he opened not his mouth. My, what an example. Think we got a ways to go yet, folks? I'm working on it. How about you? Trying. Some days I do better than others, but I'm still in the fight, still trying. By the grace of God, I'm going to make it. So you preach the gospel by your attitude and a servant attitude. Amen. That's how we are here. We come and we serve. And then it said he humbled himself. Humility. Humility. Genuine humility. Humility, and we've said this before, I think it bears repeating. Humility is not thinking little of yourself. That's inferiority. Inferiority, an inferiority complex, has self at the center. It thinks of itself. It's selfish. It equates everything to me and how people respond to me. And I'm less than somebody else. And I'm lower than everybody else. And I'm not as good as somebody else. Because self, 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 self is at the center. That's inferiority. Humility doesn't think of itself. It's thinking about others. It's thinking about service. It's thinking about help. It's thinking about ministry. That's humility. Genuine humility. And that's what humility does. And that's what humility is. And humility helps us preach the gospel. And then he said not only did he humble himself, but he became obedient. Wow. Obedient. That's a big word right there, folks. Obedient. Amen. Obedient to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to do. Amen. And I thank God for salvation. It changes a person. Told you about one time I was riding down the freeway and I was doing about 70 miles an hour and this truck driver ran me off the road. Man, I hit the ditch doing 70 miles an hour. It was one more wild ride. But I didn't turn over by the grace of God. I got back on the road, and guess what? I was going to catch a truck driver, and we were going to have some words. So, man, I kicked it up, and I was driving 90 miles an hour trying to catch up with him. And the Holy Ghost said, what are you going to do? And when the Holy Ghost talks, you don't tell him what you're going to do. You just say, I get the point. And you just let off. And you just let him go. Amen. No matter what you want to say, and no matter what you want to do, you just let it go. Amen. That's obedience, isn't it? Now, see, I had the want to, but I didn't do it. Because the Holy Ghost said no. Amen. So you have to be obedient. That's, we preach the gospel by obedience. Amen. Talking to people the Holy Ghost impresses you to talk to. Helping people the Holy Ghost encourages you to help. Being obedient. That's how we preach the gospel. That's a part of the Christian attitude. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then lastly, we preach the gospel with our motives. Having the right motives. Why do you want to be a Christian? Why do you want to be a Christian? It's more than fire insurance, folks. It's more than just keeping us out of hell. Why do I want to be a Christian? What's my motive? Amen. I think the greatest motive is love. That's the greatest motive. Amen. Not to see how spiritual I can be. Not to impress people by how many spiritual gifts I have. Not to impress people by how many times I go to church a week. Not to impress somebody by how many hours I pray. Not to impress somebody by how many days I fast. Amen. But what I want to do is love Jesus Christ with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. And then to love my neighbor as myself. Amen. That's the right motive for the Christian life. Jesus illustrated this so perfectly with a little story that he told in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. He said, and he spake this parable of this. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Now that's how you don't do it. How do you know if you're a Pharisee? Because you trust in yourself that you're righteous and you despise others. That's to whom he addressed this parable. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Not a Republican, a publican. The Pharisee stood, and don't you love this phraseology? The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He wasn't praying to God, he was praying to himself. Well, I guess he was his God, because his God was himself. Amen. And so he prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. What a motive. What a motive. Now, doesn't he sound spiritual? He fasts two times a week. He must be spiritual. He pays his tithes. He must be spiritual. Look at all the things he does not do. He must be spiritual. Not really. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every man that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. So you see, our motive is important in preaching the gospel. Why do I preach the gospel? I think a great example is Jonah. Jonah preached the gospel very reluctantly. God said, go to Nineveh. Then as he said, I think it's time for a vacation in Spain. So he got on a ship and headed to Spain. Amen. He got out in the middle. You know the story. The storm came up. And they threw him overboard. And God prepared a great fish to swallow him up. And he stayed in the fish's belly for 3 days. And when he hit the ground, he headed for Nineveh. And he had a great message. Repent or perish. And he was kind of hoping they'd perish. That's the reason he didn't want to go. He said, God, sure as I go down there, they'll repent and you'll forgive them and nothing will happen. So I don't want to go. He went. He preached, but there was not much compassion in his message or in his motive. After it was over, you remember the story? He went up on the hill and he sat down under this bush, and he was sitting there and he was going to watch them fry. But the king got under conviction and he forced a fast across the city. Nobody could eat, man, woman, boy, girl, or beast. Nothing ate, all dressed in sackcloth and ashes and humbled themselves before God. And sure enough, God had mercy. And he didn't destroy them. And Jonah got so angry. Said, God, I knew you were going to do that. What a motive. What a motive. Amen. Preach the gospel with the right motive. Amen. Because you love souls. Amen. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I heard years ago a saying that I have thought of often. It said, never talk to men about God until you have talked to God about men. That's where you get the right motive. Find yourself a closet of prayer and let your soul be immersed in the love of God. Let the love of God be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And then go talk to people about God. And they will feel that. I was in a store some time ago, and there was a young man in there. Man, he was passing out tracts. He was almost forcing people to take them. I mean, he was serious about getting those tracts out. And if you didn't take it, he'd just almost make you take one. He was going to see that you got one. Amen. And he didn't have time to talk to anybody, but he was getting those tracts out. He had a stinking attitude about it, but he was getting those tracts out. Amen. You know, we our motive has to be right, folks. When you talk to somebody about God, you need to have the right motive. And your motive needs to be bathed, baptized, immersed in the love of God. Amen. Hey, let's go preach the gospel. Let's go preach the gospel. Amen. Everywhere you go, you're a preacher of the gospel. Amen. And you do preach a gospel. Everywhere you go, every day that you live, we preach the gospel. I don't know about you, but some days I have not preached well. Amen. Some days I have preached well. Amen. And I want to do my best. I really do. God help me. I want to do better. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time tonight and your attention. Amen. We are all preachers of the gospel.